All right, folks, welcome back to another edition of The Realist Report. This is your host, John Friend. Today is Wednesday, October 14th, 2020. Of course, my website is therealistreport.com, where you will find an extensive archive of these podcasts, as well as other radio programs I've participated in. You will also find all of my blog posts and articles, a contact page, my Twitter feed, which is embedded in the right-hand sidebar of the website, and many other useful and important links. I am a regular reporter for American Free Press, America's last real newspaper, and I also contribute to the Barnes Review, the bi-monthly historical revisionist magazine. Please do subscribe to these fine print publications if you do not already. Check out AmericanFreePress.net and BarnesReview.org for all of the details. All right, with that said, let me introduce our special guest this evening. Adam Green of NoMoreNews.org is joining us once again. Adam, welcome back to the program, sir. How are you this evening?
I'm doing well, a little tired from a lot of research the last few days, but it's good to be here again, John, ready to keep it real with the Realist Report.
Good, man. Well, thanks. I appreciate it. Yeah, you were last on, I think it was like May of last year. And I've been on your program a couple times. It's been a few years, but I've always been a big fan of your work. You do a lot of good interviews, a lot of good just solo videos and podcasts, and you know, you're delving into all sorts of controversial topics, and they become increasingly more controversial as you progress here. So it's good to see you good to see you thriving out there in the independent alternative media, and I really encourage people to support your work. Your main website is nomorenews.org, and that's K-N-O-W, morenews.org. I'll, of course, have that linked when I post this podcast. And I follow you on Twitter. I'll have your Twitter feed linked on this podcast as well. And then, of course, you're also on YouTube, where a lot of your videos are, and BitChute probably even more so, because I know YouTube is – I'm surprised you're even still allowed on YouTube, given the ridiculous
the main
levels
channel,
of censorship.
I'm sorry to interrupt. It is miraculous that I wasn't censored a lot earlier, but I'm pretty strategic with the way I cover things and know how to walk the line and try to not get censored. But I just had two strikes and had a 2-week suspension, and then I got back and I put one video out about Amalek, which we'll talk to about today. And then I picked up another strike just yesterday. So I had to change all my videos to private, and the main channel's down for 3 months.
Wow. You know what? And honestly, it just shows you that these mainstream platforms, Facebook, Twitter, honestly, though, I haven't really had too many issues on Twitter, but Facebook for sure, YouTube for sure, Instagram, which is I believe is owned by Facebook. I mean, you almost can't even operate on these platforms if you're saying anything politically incorrect, or certainly, criticizing Jews or Zionism or Israel. So
they're even censoring like QAnon or
exactly, yeah.
Like anything questioning COVID just came out today, and they've been announcing they're censoring questioning COVID or the World Health Organization. And Facebook just came out and said that they won't allow conspiracies about Jews controlling the world, and now they won't let you question any aspects of their weaponized narrative of World War II. So and they're pushing this anti-Semitism definition everywhere to essentially shut it down worldwide with their anti-Semitism czar and all these organizations pushing this. It's incredibly dangerous. Once they have they have control of all the tech, and once they're going to be able to suppress this. You said I was thriving. And it's funny because I feel like I'm being – like I've got the grips around me, and I'm like in a boiling pot with the algorithm suppression. The video views are all down. You can never get a viral video like you used to. I notice Twitter's down. Like I think a bunch of – all the time I'm seeing accounts that I follow and that follow me that are getting taken out by these accounts on Twitter, and – it's just – it's pathetic. It's thank God for BitChute, because at least there's some kind of alternative.
Well, I mean, I think you are definitely thriving since we first did a podcast, or the first time you had me on your YouTube program. I mean, my God, you have, what, over 20,000 Twitter followers. I don't know how many you have on YouTube, but I mean, you're a pretty well-known and popular figure out there in the alternative media, and for good reason. I mean, I think you're doing a lot of really good work. That's basically what I meant. I mean, anytime you get into these controversial topics, of course, it's going to lead to censorship and oppression. And I mean, geez, I've been dealing with this for 10 years now, almost, it seems like.
Banned from PayPal, banned from Facebook, banned from Coinbase.
Yeah, you too.
People getting banned from Patreon. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I mean, you too. I mean, I've been banned from PayPal, Coinbase. I mean, basically any Stripe, any online payment system, I've basically been totally banned from, like, as a person.
Like, credit card processing online is like the new basic form of exchange of money, of currency, and they're not even letting you do that. It's like literal mark of the beast type of stuff going on, where you criticize them, you are excommunicated. You're not allowed to sustain yourself. People can't support you. You can't be a viable threat to them because they're always, you know, under assault.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't even, you know, in the past I would have like a donate page on my website. I still actually do have a donate page, but really it's so difficult for anybody to even actually, who genuinely wants to like donate money for what I'm doing, to even do so. So I basically just encourage people to contact me privately and we can maybe work something out. But aside from that, I mean, yeah, it's almost impossible for me to receive any sort of, well, it is basically at this point impossible for me to receive any sort of online payment. I mean, there's maybe other ways I haven't explored just because I don't have the time or the, you know, really the energy anymore. I'm not doing this, you know, full time, obviously, but it's tough, man. And that's a big reason why I've slowed down, and it's hard for me to, you know, to continue doing this sort of work is, you know, it's just almost impossible when you're sticking your neck out there, you're risking pretty much everything. And, you know, there are people that want to support us and they can't even do it because we're being censored and shut down and deplatformed left, right, and center. And it's just totally outrageous.
Yeah. And it's not just that, you know, we're not able to be supported. It's that they're shutting down any contrary views or people that are willing to call them out for their lying narratives and their hypocrisy and stuff. So it's like not being able to make videos with independent thought and show, you know, because so much of this information I collect that I show in my videos, like if this were to see, if there was an even playing field and like the algorithms let it flourish and organically share, like this would wake people up in a heartbeat because it's just so much evidence to back up the stuff we're saying that they have to suppress it. Otherwise, people will eventually start waking up.
Yeah. And I wanted to actually kind of pick your brain a bit just real quick before we jump into some recent news items about how you actually do your videos. Because for the longest time, I mean, on my website, I've pretty much done everything in written form or in audio like podcast form, whereas you've focused almost exclusively on producing videos and editing videos and splicing videos together and stuff like that. And a lot of times it seems like, at least a lot of the videos that I see, I mean, you're using like mainstream sources, Jewish sources, for example, you know, articles from Haaretz and the Times of Israel and, you know, any of these other
Chabad.org
mainstream,
and Safaria. Yeah, like, and yeah.
Yeah, like mainstream, like explicitly Jewish news outlets that are, in many cases, like just openly admitting what they're doing, and in some cases even boasting about it. Yeah, that's the thing. And then, you know, like you or I pointed out, and of course you're dismissed as like a conspiracy theorist and an anti-Semite and all this. And, you know, you're shut down, you're deplatformed. The Nation of Islam, speaking of a recent shutdown, they had their YouTube channel banned recently. And I got an article here I tweeted out a few days ago from the Algemeiner. Jewish organizations applaud YouTube ban on anti-Semitic Nation of Islam channel. So these organizations are basically openly working to shut down your free speech. And not even your free speech, but your just ability to even like point basic, easily observable, easily provable facts out about the Jews and what they're doing. That's what this is all about.
Because it's a race and a religion and a state, it makes it unique where that, like, you can't even criticize their Jewish supremacist doctrines. that is just, you could easily find all over the Talmud and on YouTube, rabbis saying horribly supremacist thing, that they've got superior souls, that they're pure and holy, and the Gentiles are evil and darkness and all this kind of stuff. All you got to do is collect that and show it, and then they'll call you a supremacist when you're exposing their supremacy. But it's a religion and a race, so it kind of gives them like immunity that you can't criticize, or you can't criticize their state because they're a religion. You know, they kind of try to have it both ways.
Yeah, they're very like, yeah, they're very manipulative and inflexible with their identity. And, you know, they're a race or a religion depending on when it suits them best, right? And there's that whole meme of like, you know, oh, my fellow white people, when it's in reality some Jewish supremacist lecturing white people about how evil they are. Meanwhile, they don't even authentically identify as white. In fact, I mean, you know, you look at like mainstream
Jewish... They despise Europeans.
Absolutely, and they make no bones about it. And you even look at like mainstream public opinion surveys of Jews... And they explicitly identify as Jewish, as opposed to white. You know, there's a very distinct difference. And I think a lot of people have a hard time understanding that, because most Jews, you know, you look at their skin color and yeah, they look relatively white. You know, there's others that are sort of more dark skinned or whatever. But generally speaking, you know, most average people sort of just assume that they're white and they just have a different religion. When in my view... This is the key, actually, of understanding the whole concept of the Jewish question or the Jewish problem, or however you want to term it, of just understanding who the Jews are, is recognizing and understanding that they are, in fact, a very distinct, separate ethnic or racial, I mean, I don't know what the best word is, but definitely a distinct group of people from white people. And they themselves make that clear. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. This is them who differentiate. Their whole religion is about differentiating between the holy chosen ones and then the impure goyim nations. So this is, they're the ones that are the ones that should dwell alone and must be segregated and separated. The worst crime in Judaism is to marry outside of the tribe. Yet they preach the opposite for everybody else. So exactly. And it's just full of hypocrisy nonstop.
Yeah. Well, and kind of getting back to the way you put your videos together, that's really like kind of a key theme of it all, is like you're out there like actually showing people what these people are actually saying. And that includes any, you know, rabbis, for example, to just, you know, average, you know, Jewish journalists and Jewish reporters to, you know, even Jews on the street, for example. I mean, you really put together a lot of fascinating and incredible clips that are coming right from the horse's mouth, so to speak. I mean, it's not like you're making this up or like putting words in their mouth.
I honestly don't know anybody. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm just saying.
I'm not aware of any other like kind of news outlet that's covering this topic like in the way that I do, where I have so many clips categorized and so many screenshots and highlighted articles and scans of books with highlights. And I just, what I do is I collect all the information on Adobe Premiere Pro on a sequence. So I save it all in folders and drag it all in, and I have them all organized. And that's kind of my system that I have. I have a really systemic way that I do it. And then I just, whatever I want to cover in a video, I kind of just drag and drop the screenshots and the videos, and then kind of just present it, you know, kind of like talking head style with the OBS streamer.
Well, good, man. Yeah, I'm glad you're doing it, because it's really important and you do a damn good job of doing it. You know, I may not agree with every last take that you've had, but overall, I think you're doing a really good job. So with that said, let's kind of jump into some of the topics I had lined up here. One story that I've been covering this for actually a few years now. I mean, ever since this report started coming out from the Homeland Security, this Homeland Security assessment where they like assess the various threats facing the homeland and facing the United States more generally. And it seems like almost every year, at least for the past few years, you read this report and you know, you read the way they frame, you know, domestic extremism, and it was like literally written by the ADL, you know, where they're saying like, you know, white supremacist extremists are the biggest domestic terror threat in the United States. I've written multiple articles about this for American Free Press, and I actually just wrote one that's going to be published in this upcoming edition of the newspaper, because this report, the 2020 report, just came out. I think it was last week, last Tuesday or Wednesday, it was officially published.
It seems like it's every month for like years. We keep seeing headlines like, oh, this DHS official or FBI new report says this, or it seems like it's constant, repetitive. We're always seeing these headlines.
Well, it is, and it started maybe a month or two ago when Politico was – somebody leaked a couple draft reports of this actual report that I'm referring to that was just published. And yeah, it actually was October 6th. So what is that? I think it was last Tuesday. It was officially reported. It was officially released. But they had leaked reports out there. So of course the media is going to cover it and hype it. Oh yeah, the DHS is saying, you know, white supremacists are this huge threat facing the country, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Meanwhile, they're like hyping up Proud Boys. Meanwhile, look at BLM and Antifa.
Oh, and Proud Boys is like, I know, man. Exactly.
Zionist. Multicultural, they've got a branch in Israel and they're calling them anti-Semite white supremacists. It's just all such a joke.
Yeah, it really is. And there was an article published by the Jewish Telegraph Agency that kind of was reporting on this, because again, the report was officially released. These other reports in like Politico and I think it was it the Washington Post or the Washington Times or something, that, you know, they had reported on it, and, you know, of course, it kind of trickles down, and everybody starts picking up the same idea. That's how this works. This is why the Jews are so effective, is because they get these memes out there, regardless of the facts related to it or if it has any legitimacy, but they get them out there, they get their talking heads, you know, just repeating it on every single outlet out there, and it just trickles down, and you just get saturated with this idea that white supremacists are like this huge threat. And you know, I actually read most of the report. I didn't read the whole thing. It's 26 pages. I should probably read the whole thing, but I mean, I read the most important parts. And it's incredible. I mean, right in the foreword, let me actually find it really quick, because I'll read it. It's only, there's a couple sentences that are just absolutely like the gaslighting and like the doublethink and like Orwellian nature of like even what this report itself says is just astonishing. Go, let me find it really quick, and I'll read it briefly, but go ahead and give me your take on this overall.
Yeah, like the ADL has write-ups about white supremacy and is this big threat. Meanwhile, they think they're chosen by God and they support the most racist Zionist state in on the planet. And they, out of one side of their mouth, they'll say, oh, you know, we have the right to self-determination and they're against the Palestinians there and they're for their ethno-state. But then Greenblatt is always hyping up the myth of white supremacists running everything and being this big threat, and will suppress and censor anybody that even talks about Jewish supremacy. When I'm telling you, if all the stuff that I could put together of examples of Jewish supremacist belief, if that was the equivalent of white people, it would be everywhere. It would be everywhere. It's not even comparable at all whatsoever. And they're so hypocritical. They'll say, oh, you know, Zionism is Jewish nationalism and it's good and we have the right to do it. But then they'll attack any European country that doesn't want to have open borders. And then there's Barbara Spector who says like, oh, we're going to be resented for our primary role and Europe won't survive if we don't make it multicultural. And then she goes and gets invited to Israel with the Rothschilds for their common destiny. Like, their whole religion is about dominating and conquering the world from Jerusalem and enslaving and eliminating Amalek and Edom.
Okay, yeah, wow. Now you're getting into like your grand take on everything, which is good, because I do want to.
Well, their take. It's yeah. Their take.
Okay, well, your presentation of it, because I'm interested in that, and it's not something I think I fully understand, but maybe we can kind of flesh it out here in the next 45 minutes or so. Let me just say here really quick. I found the quote here, and this is on page 4 of the report. It's a 26-page PDF you can look up right online. In fact, the article that I mentioned from the Jewish Telegraph Agency actually links directly to the PDF from Homeland Security, this Threat Assessment 2020. And this is in the foreword that was written, apparently this is what they say, apparently written by the acting secretary Chad Wolf, who is, sort of like a Trumpian, like tough guy, like, very critical of Antifa, but really hasn't done much to...
The ADL was opposing him. They were opposing him, saying he wasn't tough enough on white supremacy.
Yeah, and this is what's interesting. Just because it's presented as, that's the main headline, is that Homeland Security... And they do say that in this report. In fact, let me just read it here. It says, I am particularly concerned about white supremacist violent extremists who have been exceptionally lethal in their abhorrent targeted attacks in recent years. I am proud of our work to prevent terrorizing tactics by domestic terrorists and violent extremists who seek to force ideological change in the United States through violence, death, and destruction. So he outright, explicitly condemns white supremacist violent extremists. And later on in the report, it actually does specifically say that white supremacist extremists pose the greatest and the most persistent and the most lethal threat to the homeland. It does actually explicitly say that in the report. But in the very next paragraph, basically, in the foreword from the acting Secretary of Homeland Security, Chad Wolf, he goes on to say, he basically starts describing how lawful protests that we've seen over the course of the past 6, 7, 8 months now, how there's extremists exploiting these lawful protests, which, the video that I've seen, most of these protests quickly devolve into riots and looting and destruction. There's some people out there peacefully protesting, but generally speaking...
Beatings, too.
Yeah, exactly. But generally speaking, these people, especially the more radical Antifa, BLM people, they are out there disrupting traffic. They are out there confronting people. They are beating people. They are murdering people. They are looting and destroying businesses across the country. They are confronting average people sitting down trying to have a drink or trying to have a meal with their, with their wife or their family or whatever. You guys know this listening to this. You can see the videos. They're all over Twitter. They're all over social media if you know what to look for. It's just so obvious what's going on. These people are out of control, and they've been out of control for a very, very long time. And the acting secretary of the Department of Homeland Security even admits it in this damn report, and it's not even the headline. This, to me, should be the headline and should be the key focus of this report. Of course, it's not. Of course, it's not the focus of the report, and of course, it's not the headlines that we see in the mainstream Jewish-controlled mass media. But let me just read this really quick, and I want to get your take. He says here, this anti-government, anti-authority, and anarchist violent extremism was identified by DHS in September 2019 when we published our strategic framework for countering terrorism and targeted violence, the last report basically that came out talking about all of this. And then he goes on to say, as the date of this publication, we have seen over 100 days of violence and destruction in our cities. The co-opting of lawful protests led to destruction of government property and have turned deadly. Indeed, DHS law enforcement officers suffered over 300 separate injuries and were assaulted with sledgehammers, commercial-grade fireworks, rocks, metal pipes, improvised explosive devices, and more. This violence, perpetrated by anarchist extremists and detailed in numerous public statements that remain available on the DHS website, significantly threatens the homeland by undermining officer and public safety, as well as our values and way of life. While the report touches on these issues, we are still in the nascent stages of understanding the threat this situation poses to Americans, the homeland, and the American way of life. Can you imagine the sort of twisted thinking that had to go into writing that paragraph? He's openly, like, he basically says that white supremacists are, you know, the greatest threat, doesn't provide any, like, concrete examples, and then goes on and talks about anarchist and anti-government protesters and extremists, and literally lists exactly what they're doing, like demonstrating all of the criminality and violence and destruction. They're using sledgehammers against his officers. They're using commercial-grade fireworks and rocks and improvised explosive devices. Like, I mean, can you – it's just it really blows my mind that, you know, we could have something like this published by your own government, and it could be so twisted. It's almost like they know what's going on. That's the conclusion I'm led to believe. How could any rational person read this and come to any other conclusion? They're literally listing what the radical left is doing, and they're blaming white supremacists without even citing any legitimate evidence. And I'm sorry, I'm like totally ranting right now, but it just outrages me that this is what passes for like legitimate public discourse in this country right now.
I've been covering it in a lot of my videos. It infuriates me too. The chutzpah of these people to scapegoat and blame so-called white supremacists and white people or right-wing extremists for all the violence of BLM and Antifa. And then they say that Antifa is just an idea. And then the ADL defends Antifa. They say that the symbol of Antifa with the prohibited, you know, blocked out sign is hate speech. It's hate to be against Antifa. The media frames Antifa as, oh, they're just anti-fascist. Anti-fascist is a good thing. The Jewish media has done tons of articles saying Antifa is Jewish, the Jewish origins of Antifa. It's actually anti-Semitic to criticize Antifa. And then all the violence we've been seeing with all this BLM stuff and Ferguson and Charlottesville and all these total psyops, hyped up propaganda lies of BLM. Meanwhile, they're ignoring all of the anti-white violence and hatred and sentiment all over the country and all over Europe. And it's like, the, you know, they've kvetched about Charlottesville for 3 years and pointed to that so many times as this justification. It would have been peaceful if Antifa didn't go there to show up and fight and the police stand down. And the violence that we've been seeing all over the country for months is far worse. It's like Charlottesville on steroids times 100.
Yes. Yeah, well said, man. Totally well said. Well, and I mean, regarding Charlottesville, I mean, there's even been like legitimate independent investigations conducted by, what was the guy's name? The Heafy Report, I think it was called. You know, this lawyer in Charlottesville, like, looked into what happened. And, I mean, he basically said that the state and the local political and law enforcement establishment basically wanted this to happen. They wanted a violent confrontation to happen, and they made it happen in order to shut down the event. I mean, and that's exactly what happened. And, you know, you look at... I wasn't there. I mean, you know, you see videos and whatnot, and I mean, generally speaking, I think it's
something like that.
Yeah. I mean, I think generally speaking, though, that the violence and the provocations and the, frankly, terrorism was perpetrated by the left to a far greater extent than it was by the right. If the right wing, you know, Unite the Right rally people were even engaging in that sort of behavior, aside from like being defensive. I mean, they're basically showing up to participate in a legally sanctioned rally, and they're being violently attacked, and they're defending themselves, and yet they're blamed for all of the violence and chaos that unfolded. It's like a total inversion of reality, just like our entire Jew system is.
They were there defending statues 3 years ago, and then now after George Floyd, how many statues in Europe and America did they take down? These people are like marching in the streets saying death to America. America is racist. The Constitution is racist. All of our history and founders and just white people all in general are born racist. And if they deny that they're racist, well, that means they're racist. And meanwhile, our statues are being pulled down and statue or, you know, cities of Trump, cities and train stations are getting named after Trump in Israel, and they're passing laws in America that we can't boycott Israel, or we can't call Israel racist, or it's anti-Semitism definition. It's out of control.
It is, man. It is. And I mean, it's been out of control for a very long time, but this year in particular, it seems to have like ratcheted up like exponentially. It's like on a whole new level by 100. You know, I mean, it's really, I just kicked the table. It's really out of control. You know, one point I wanted to make, you had mentioned how like in the debate, and I actually wrote about this in the article I wrote for American Free Press, Trump was basically, I mean, you know, I don't know what to make of his comment about the Proud Boys. Stand back and stand by, I think he said. I tend to think that he was basically telling them to, I think he meant stand down, like let law enforcement.
Wallace told him, will you tell groups to stand down? And then Trump was like trying to remember. He's like, yeah, I'll say, yeah, sure. I'll say whatever you want me to. I'll disavow anybody
exactly
you want me to.
So we see how the media totally distorted what he said during the debate. And, of course, they distorted what he said about Charlottesville in the aftermath. I mean, mm-hmm. He wasn't, like, endorsing the Unite the Right people. He was basically saying that there's good people on both sides. Most of the violence came from the left. I can't even remember exactly what he said, but they always make a big deal about Charlottesville, as you mentioned. But it's interesting. I mean, Joe Biden is basically saying, look, you know, you're talking about the radical left and Antifa. And the Antifa, I mean, this is just an idea. This is some, you know, it's an idea that people ascribe to, you know, the idea that there's an organized, you know, legitimate like Antifa movement is a conspiracy theory. And even your own Department of Homeland Security agrees with me. And that is true. And that is what is so shameful and disgusting about the Trump administration, is that this man is in the White House saying one thing, and people underneath him are saying the exact opposite. And that's been going on for a very, very long time, as I'm sure you know.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, Biden says that he ran because of Charlottesville to stop Trump when Trump said that there's good people on both sides, which they completely cut out what he said right before that, the disclaimer that he's not talking about any white supremacists or KKK. Wallerstein in the debate asked Trump, will you disavow? He asked the same question 4 years ago in the debate. He said, will you disavow? And Trump's answer then was, oh my gosh, how many times are you guys going to keep asking me to disavow? I disavowed 20 times yesterday. And he keeps doing it, and they keep running with this hoax that he won't disavow. And it's almost like they're using Trump as a straw man, like a punching bag, to heap all of this, to generate and incite all of this anti-white hatred. Meanwhile, we know that Trump is serving Zion and AIPAC and Adelson and Kushner and Netanyahu, and he's busy over in the Middle East, you know, making peace deals to help boost Israel diplomacy position in the world. And he's signing executive orders that you can't criticize Jews, and they're calling him an anti-Semite still. It's so unbelievable, gaslighting, inversion, clown world, like Twilight Zone.
Yeah, it totally is. I mean, you know, and I mean, this was going on in the previous election, leading up to the 2016 election. I mean, literally, like every single mainstream, more, you know, like left-wing media outlet, CNN, MSNBC, they were just hysterical, you know, denouncing Trump as the next Hitler, and he sounds like Hitler, and, you know, he's a racist and a white supremacist and a neo-Nazi. All these sorts of weaponized buzzwords were thrown at him, and they still are, despite how much he has done for Israel and for the Jews. I mean, you know, we could go on about that. And not only that, I mean, even the people around him. I mean, he's got, like, all these insider Jews, you know, manipulating and sort of undermining his ostensible America First agenda, to the point where, I mean, I question whether or not, I mean, I think generally that he is a genuine person and he like means what he says and like does care about the country and he does care about our borders and, you know, making America great again and, you know, bringing jobs back and really like I think he really does care about the country, but he's just being so.
I think he believes in QAnon and he thinks he's the savior and he's going to turn the darkness to light and he's going to be biblical and help Israel and be this, you know, he's got on the third temple coin. I think they have big plans for him in the next term.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And you might be right. I mean, honestly, you might be right when it's all said and done.
Instead of the right, like recognizing like that he's just completely cucked to Netanyahu and to Israel and to all those powers. And he's helping them move the ball down the field towards the end zone in so many different ways. If it wasn't for the right and the Zionist right is able to get away with so much because the left, the Bolsheviks, communists are so incredibly awful that in comparison, it makes people enthusiastically want to support the lesser of two evils.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. Well, and also I think the country has been so polarized. I mean, I've made this point before. It was extremely polarized under Obama, but since Trump has been in office, it's probably on a whole other level. And I think that's just a result of the nature of President Trump, of like just his personality in general, the way he handles himself, the way he deals with the media, the way he conducts himself. But it's also a result of the more left-leaning elements of the media just being hysterical in their hatred of him. And also I'm curious because to me, I mean, it's pretty clear that almost the entire political establishment, like the deep state, the whole concept of the deep state, you know, the people that are entrenched in the government, the bureaucrats, the elite insiders, they have seemed to, at least to me, again, this seems pretty obvious based on all the manufactured scandals and all the other initiatives they've undertaken to try to, you know, overthrow the last election and get him removed from office. And the Democrats in general, like just their entire hysterical reaction to Trump. What do you make of that? I mean, is this like just political theater or is there something like legitimate going on here?
The leftist media is so dishonest and hated and discredited that being attacked by a lot of them kind of boosts Trump's credibility in a lot of Americans' eyes. Just like they see BLM and Antifa out on the streets causing mayhem, that helps support to a degree as well. So, and look at the left. They really put Biden and Kamala Harris in. Like, it's almost like Biden's in there to take a fall, it appears to me. I think Trump is gonna get another term. I'm not going to say he's going to win, but I think he's going to get another term. And I think that he is going to intensify the relationship with Israel and the handing over of the tech and the building up of their military and possibly war, the peace deal, like the Abrahamic peace deal that they're doing over there. This connects with the Noahide laws, the one world religion that Chabad Lubavitch is trying to promote, where Islam and Christianity are Noahides worshiping and helping them rebuild the temple. So I think he's their man for all of that. And what's interesting, go ahead, you had a question?
Yeah, no, I was going to say, so basically it is essentially like political theater.
You like know, this, I this idea, this they control Kamala Trump, and Biden yeah. too. So I don't know if it's, I don't like to claim for sure I know it's political theater, but sometimes it seems that way. It could be sincere factions that are really fighting for power, like the secular Zionist versus the religious right wing Zionist. It's always been the Bolshevik Zionist dialectic, but really they're kind of working in tandem together for the same ends. And something interesting I found today, the whole QAnon psyop, all the support for Trump with QAnon, the sycophant cults, you know, the Q drops. I don't know how close you've looked into that, but, you know, their whole theme, their motto is turn the darkness to light. and this is a Kabbalistic concept that Chabad Lubavitch is always talking about, the darkness to the light. And I think I did a video this last week. This Jewish girl on Twitter did a whole thread about it, that Trump is the Moshiach ben Yosef, the predecessor to the main Moshiach. They believe there's two Moshiachs, and this one doesn't have to be a Gentile. He just fulfills these certain things, and they're saying that it's him.
Huh. Yeah, interesting. I mean, I know that's been a topic that you've been exploring for a while. I mean, shit, probably since he's been in office.
Rabbis are calling him the Messiah. They're saying that he's Cyrus and helping them rebuild the temple. Like, we're dealing with a religious fanatic supremacist temple cult, and the Christian Zionists helping them are helping basically build up Israel and helping them rebuild the temple so that the Antichrist will come and that Jesus will come and defeat the Antichrist. They want major wars and Armageddon, and these are the people that have influence with the Republicans, with Trump.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it's interesting because, I mean, and it's hard to disagree with you. I mean, you're showing clips of, like, rabbis and, you know, other Jews basically saying everything that you just said right there. So it's hard for me to necessarily disagree with you. I guess, I don't know, I guess, and maybe this is me just being hopeful because, like, you know, I see a lot of Trump speeches and, like, hear the way he deals with the media or see the way he deals with the media, you know, hear some of his press conferences. And, I mean, he really does strike me as, like, a very genuine guy, like, at least the way he comes across. Maybe he is obviously a great actor, right? I mean, there's no doubt about that.
He's like,
and I've been extremely,
man.
Go ahead.
WWE, like an actor, a reality star. He was bailed out by the Rothschilds in the early 90s. They said he was worth more alive than dead. They bailed him out $4 billion. The Rothschild banker, who's now Wilbur Ross, who's now our commerce secretary. His treasury secretary, Mnuchin, is Goldman Sachs and Skull and Bones. And it's I think he was groomed for this role, and they've got major plans for him. And the whole QAnon, you know, Trump's like the Messiah figure that's going to turn the darkness to light and, like, save the world and have world peace and stuff. I think Q is Kabbalah.
Wow. You know what? And honestly, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, I don't deny what you're saying. I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Well, what
it's
I will
definitely
say
an
is,
interesting, it's an interesting yeah. thing to consider and to keep in mind. At the end of the day, though, who do you want to see in the White House? I mean, who are you going to vote for? Let me ask you frankly.
Well, in my state, voting wouldn't make a difference because it's not really a battleground state. But
hey, Adam, you don't know that. You don't know that. California is going red in 2020. I said you don't know that. California is going red in 2020. Come on.
You think so?
Haven't you seen TikTok?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, no, I'm sort of kidding, but I mean,
well, here, let me say,
I'll tell you this right now. There are a lot of Trump supporters in Southern California, for sure. I mean, I doubt he's gonna win. Who knows? But there are a lot of Trump supporters in California that, in my experience, anyways. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, like, you know, with all the prophecy end times stuff about Trump, like, this is me just seeing so many other people talking about it, which they've kind of always done with, you know, Obama and, you know, every leader and every new pope is always the Antichrist and the end is always here. But it does seem like it's different right now with what's going on, like the peace that they're making and the war drums that they keep foreshadowing. And like the time frame and where we are technology wise, I think, you know, this crazy, you know, racial division we're having and COVID stuff. Like, I think we're really in a crazy time right now. The next 4 years are going to be
no doubt
incredible.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And, you know,
left is going to freak out when Trump wins.
Yes, exactly. Well, I mean, you know, and this idea has been making a lot of traction in even mainstream conservative Fox News even has reported on this idea of, like, an American version of a color revolution sponsored by the deep state, sponsored by the, you know, the Democrat establishment. And, you know, Revolver News, I don't know if you follow them, but they've been reporting on this. And, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. You see all the signs, all the telltale signs of a color revolution are right there, right here in America. A contested election, protesters on the streets, you know, a hostile media demonizing a targeted regime. It's all there. And it's been there for, you know, for years now. But now as we're approaching this upcoming election, It's like all of this on steroids, as you know, as we've basically been saying.
But I always said it too. I remember 2016, and I kept thinking, "Wow, 2020 is just going to be way crazier than this." And they're really not disappointing. Grab your popcorn; it's going to be serious, entertaining. I mean, look at the last debate, Trump and Biden. That was like anything I've ever seen. I don't even know, are they still canceled the next one? That'll be disappointing if they do cancel it.
I think they did, yeah. I think they're – I mean, I haven't seen – I saw a headline saying that they were going to – each one of them were going to hold, like, town halls or rallies or something, like, to replace the whole, you know, in-person debate or whatever. And frankly, I mean, I don't – the debate was – both of the debates, I listened to both of them, and I was just totally disappointed. And I said this recently on another interview that – the whole entire discussion is framed in this like artificial Jewish constructed reality where they're talking about these nonsense issues, climate change and, you know, white privilege and systemic racism and, you know, all this other nonsense. Meanwhile, our country is being burned down by radical Antifa BLM terrorists who are basically engaging in this behavior as a result of criminals that have been killed by cops or, you know, in some cases died of drug overdoses like George Floyd, for example. I mean, everything is just so out of whack and like inverted again. I mean, that's the only way that I can describe it. It's like upside down clown world, like you said.
It's like birth pangs of the Moshiach. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, no, it's true, man. I mean, I think it's. It is really like something on a whole other level that I've never seen. You know, then again, I guess I haven't seen a lot. I'm only 34 years old, but it's definitely a lot crazier than I ever thought it would be. That's for sure.
Well, with the internet and social media has really made things crazy. It's crazy to think that like YouTube was only around like just over 10 years ago.
Yeah. Right. I know exactly. I mean, I remember, geez, first getting into this and posting videos like of me at Occupy Wall Street, and YouTube was like barely off the ground, like a couple years maybe, like 2 or 3 years. And now you can't even – now I can't even
post anything. They snipped that in the bud.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Well, I want to make one point about Trump, and the only reason why I think it's worth supporting Trump and seeing him get another term – is because and I think he's done this very effectively over the course of the past 4 years, even before he was president. The main thing that I'm concerned about is discrediting the media. He's openly attacking the media, openly calling them fake news, which they absolutely are. He's opening up space for alternative views.
He loves Hannity and Fox and Friends and Fox News.
Well,
Limbaugh.
He's been critical of Fox News as well, on Twitter anyways. I hear you. I understand. I totally understand what you're saying. He was just on Fox – or not Fox, but Rush Limbaugh. And, you know, this is what is so crazy to me. Maybe Trump is just like a boomer and he's like – he needs some better advisors or something. He's sitting there on Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh is reporting to him – that William Barr is not going to release the report about Hillary Clinton's email before the election. And he's like, my God, how long have we had this? What are you talking about? See, that's the thing. He's not in control. It's pretty clear to me that despite everything that the media would say and even the way Trump would portray his administration, he has people underneath him, in many cases people that he has directly appointed, that are just openly working to sabotage everything he's doing and to undermine him and to discredit him and to, I mean, frankly, not enforce the law. I mean, my God, President Trump in the debates with Hillary Clinton 4 years ago was saying, we're going to lock her up if I'm in office. And here we are 4 years
later.
Yeah,
but a few years
we have all the proof that Hillary Clinton engaged in a organized, systematic campaign to literally, like, overthrow the president, and nothing has been done. And he's the president. I mean, what is he doing? It's like it's so disappointing. And that's what makes me believe that all of this, despite – I do want to see Trump in office just because he's discrediting the media, which I think is the main point of all of this, and opening up space for our ideas. That's the only thing I'm really concerned about. But the fact that he has not enforced the law and brought these people to justice just – you know, he's been saying this, that was his main thing back in 2016. It proves how fake all of this is.
Yeah, and I mean, I get it. The left is, you know, goes and grovels to AIPAC too, and Kamala Harris and Biden are going to be good Shabbos goys to Israel and won't really like, but I think they got bigger plans for Trump, and also the left. I get it as well that they're so, you know, viciously anti-white and anti-American and anti-free speech and pro-censorship. That and just insane communist SJWs and the political correctness. I get all of that, and so but that's just the paradigm that they have us in, is that one side's so bad that we just, you know, plug our nose and vote for the lesser of two evils. But in this case, the lesser of two evils is one of the best friends to Zionism. And I think that's the biggest problem with America right now, is the Christian right that has worships Israel, like thanks to Hagee and Kufi and all these organizations, that's how they're able to control us, is these Zionists worshiping Israel. They'll be cursed if they don't bless them. That mindset.
Yeah, and I can't disagree with you. You're right. But again, at the end of the day, I'd rather see Trump in office than Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. I mean, my God, these people are so insufferable. I mean, who is actually like legitimately like inspired by Joe Biden or Kamala Harris? At least Trump plays, you know, is a good actor and like does actually inspire people. And you see support for him all across the country. I mean, to me, it's going to be very difficult for them to pull off this color revolution, because it's going to be pretty clear that everybody's supporting Trump. I mean, anybody that's like clearly thinking about what's going on. Well, maybe not on the level that we are, but anybody that's like superficially, you know, concerned about the country and concerned about politics is voting for Trump. At least, I guess that's my opinion, my experience dealing with normies in the real world.
Well, maybe, you know, problem, reaction, solution. Trump's going to win the election. The left is going to contest it and riot. He's going to crack down hard on the dissidents, and both sides are going to agree to crack down on anti-Semitism and white so-called white supremacy and the conspiracy theorists. And then he's just gonna, you know, everything that we saw in the last 4 years, all the crackdowns on censorship, all of the Israel shilling, I bet all of that will just intensify in the next 4 years.
Well,
at the same time.
And I wouldn't be surprised, and that would be the perfect game plan of the elites using Trump and using, you know, his ostensible America First agenda to basically get what they want. And that's –
look how much white America
that's what's
has
happened.
Been hated now under Trump.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. And he is – and he refuses to even stand up for the – I mean, you said the Proud Boys. I mean, this is not even close to a white nationalist organization. You know, denouncing Proud Boys, denouncing the KKK as if that's like a relevant organization anymore. Just continuing to kowtow and bow down to these weaponized words by the media, by the organized Jewish community, by the deep state, by the federal government in general. I mean, everybody sort of is on board with this whole anti-white agenda at this point. And it wouldn't take much for him to just say, hey, look, you know, I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, all I see is the radical left doing all of this. And I guess he did say that to a certain extent during the debate. But Adam, you know what, dude? I got one. I really got to ask you about COVID. I'm curious about your thoughts on it, and then we'll wrap up. This has been going on for at least 9 months now, maybe more. I mean, at least since it came to America, it's been about 9 months. Allegedly came to America. What's your take on this? I mean, what do you think about COVID-19? I mean, it seems to me to be a totally media manufactured, hysterically exaggerated, fake public health crisis. What's your take?
Why are they doing all that then? Why are they faking a health crisis? Because if they're faking it, I then it must be the solution that we have to worry about, right?
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, I think it's one other part of the destabilization template to destabilize the country prior to the election. I think that's a big part of it. But there's many agendas unfolding with this COVID-19 hysteria. It's just total hysteria. I mean, I don't even know a single person that's been sick, really, like, this whole time. Nobody does.
Did you see Trump promoting that Regeneron, that new miracle drug that he's been touting, that he says he took?
Yeah, I saw your video about it. Yeah, it's and see, that's again, like, he's going along with this when he could just be saying, look, this is basically nothing. Like, he could be standing up to this, which is what he should be doing, you know, considering the stakes involved here.
Well, he kind of did. I think he's trying to reassure and give the country confidence that it's not a big deal. And he wanted to display strength that he beat it. And he's like, don't be afraid of it. And I took care. I'm going to protect the seniors. And, you know, I did everything. And we're going to have a vaccine rush through trials. And they're all going to be safe. And that we're going to use the military to give it to everybody. It's
I'm not taking any vaccine. That's for damn sure.
Half of the country says they don't want to take it right now, so they're going to have to implement it in a forceful way. If I think that's going to be the plan.
You know, there was I'll conclude with this, and maybe get your take if you have one. There was a video. I think it was banned. Your favorite alternative media personality, Alex Jones, I'm pretty sure it was on Band.tv or Band.com or whatever they are, talking about the whole mask.
It was created by an Israeli.
That website was?
Yeah, I have a clip of Jones saying it, that an Israeli guy built the website and just gave it to him. Just said, here, take it.
Oh, wow. So. Well, I don't know about that. I wouldn't doubt you. I mean, you're pretty everything you say is pretty well documented. Yeah, exactly. Anyways, I was going to say, they had an interesting video a few months ago, kind of describing the whole, like, face mask agenda, how it was, like, kind of like this initiation into a cult, and how, like, everybody was forced to do it, and it kind of, like, degrades everybody, and, you know, brings everybody down, and, like, you know, I mean, think about it. You can't even, like, talk to people. I can't even talk to people with their damn face mask on. And, you know, it was basically highlighting this very sinister agenda behind this whole face mask aspect of COVID-19. And there was an article that was just published in Zero Hedge today that I saw. And I just want to read a brief excerpt of it, just sort of demonstrating, like, how ridiculous this whole situation is. And it talks about this cult ritual, this COVIDian cult ritual, beginning in January, when the medical authorities and corporate media turned on the fear with projections of hundreds of millions of deaths and fake photos of people dropping dead in the streets. The psychological conditioning was continued for months. The global masses have been subjected to a constant stream of propaganda, manufactured hysteria, wild speculation, conflicting directives, exaggerations, lies, and tawdry theatrical effects, lockdowns, emergency field hospitals and morgues, the single dancing NHS staff, death trucks, overflowing ICUs, etc. And here we are, 8 months later, And the survival rates from the Centers of Disease Control itself are like literally 99% for everybody except for people over the age of 70. And I mean, it's just incredible. And we saw the same thing out of Italy back in, I think it was March, when like Italy was a huge hotspot and, you know, everything was locked down in Italy. And then it came out that anybody that died, like literally like 95% to 99% of the people had comorbidities. They were basically already dying and they just tested positive for COVID. So to me, this whole thing is a major globalist scam, you know, designed to advance a number of agendas. One in particular to destabilize the United States and, you know, throw the election for the Democrats.
I don't think it's necessarily going to throw the election to the Democrats, but I do think they're doing more censorship. They're doing cashless society. They're doing mandatory vaccines. They and it certainly feels, I'd be lying if I said it didn't feel like a huge psyop in a lot of ways. But have you seen the motto that they have? It's like everywhere. It's called Build Back Better. Have you seen anything on that yet? Well,
see, that's the thing. It's like this whole scam is part of like the whole Green New Deal and what's that organization? The World Economic Forum. I mean, they're like literally like writing about how they want to reset the economy. Yeah. There you go. Carl Schwab or whatever his name is wrote a book about resetting the economy and basically deindustrializing the West. So this is all, I mean, this is a major, major issue right now. And anybody that is thinking critically and knows how our economy works and knows what it takes to keep an economy like the United States running with the transportation systems, with the logistics, with everything, I mean, shipping and receiving, I mean, you name it. There's no way that this could be accomplished under a Green New Deal where all of this is outlawed. I mean, Gavin Newsom himself said that he wanted to outlaw, what was it? He wanted to outlaw, like, gas engines by, like, 2035 in, like, 15 years. I mean, this is just not even possible. If we want to keep our economy moving, I will tell you that from personal experience for sure. These people want to like totally destroy our country and turn us all into slaves. No doubt about that. Alex Jones is right about that. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, you're 100% right. That is Judaism in a nutshell, what you just said right there. They want to destroy the country and turn us into slaves. The rabbis believe that Gentiles were only made by God to serve them. That Jacob has the birthright, he tricked Esau out of his birthright, and that Esau is meant to serve him. Esau is supposed to subjugate the world. This is from the Talmud. Subjugates the world, takes over the world, and then they come over and rule it over Esau. And Edom, they say Edom, who will be destroyed in their end times prophecies, as well as Amalek. Amalek is an ancestor of Esau, so they're closely related. They will be completely blotted out. The memory of Amalek will be destroyed. Amalek, I just did a video about him. You can see for yourself what the rabbis believe. Anybody that disagrees and doesn't believe that they're chosen and is a Noahide that wants to worship them, you're Amalek. And the rabbis say they will kill your children. And they consider Edom is Europe, the Christian West, Rome, America, and they want to destroy it. And this is where the anti-white hatred is coming from, originating. And they even say in the Talmud and all over their texts that they will do this with trickery and deception and take pride in the deception and the scapegoating and the blaming. And they're psychopaths. They're genocidal psychopaths.
Boy, not even being sensational. We see all of that on display so vividly right now, every single day, in your face, undeniable.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, hey, man, well said. I appreciate you coming on. It's always good to catch up. It's been a while. So I hope all is well, and I thank you very much for taking the time to join me.
Thanks for having me. It was good to chat.
All right, Adam. I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Okay. Take care.
All right.